The Plant Rant is next on WPCA Radio, made possible by your good friends at Baker Orchards at Centuria. Good morning, Sandra.
Good morning, Bob. Oh, finally a relief from all the humidity we've had. Rain.
It's been beautiful, isn't it?
So thanks, everyone, for all those rain dances. I know Bob Borgstrom and I were talking one day on the phone, and he said he'd been doing his, and I said I'd been doing mine. I said, maybe we need to get together and do it and make it happen. So apparently our dancing's paying off. So yeah, solstice has come and gone now, so our days are starting to get a little bit shorter, but we had that nice peak of super long days. It was a little different this year because it was so hot and dry. I wasn't able to have a fire. But Franconia did a really nice event at the Sculpture Park right before solstice, and they had all these interactive projects, and there was no cost. I mean, you pay at a park a lot of times when they have an event, but, I mean, you could have a car full of people and pay. They were making, like, medicinal, like, herbal oils, infused oils. They were where you could wild harvest and make, like wreaths or crowns. They had where they were doing like butterfly origamis and providing beads and even really nice prisms to make like stringed mobiles. What else did they have going on? It was just music and drumming and where you could set your intentions and put them in the fire. They had altars. They had, like, it was just a really, really nice event, and just great that there's people out there that are offering ways for people to learn more about how to celebrate the solstice and just interact and use the plants that we have and all that. So anyway, that was really fun. So for community calendar, another reminder that Silver Creek Herbals has their second of the three-part series again for July 16th from noon to 6, and you don't need to do all three parts. And this is just how she cares and cultivates for the medicinal garden. So discussing cultivating practices, plants that grow well in our area, tips on growing, mulching, all of that. So that's the second in the class of planting, growing, and harvesting your own medicinal garden. And like I said, you can take all or just one. So that is with Silver Creek Herbals. You can look up silvercreeksprings.com or listen. She is an underwriter, so you can, her phone number gets put out when her spots come up on the air. And then she is also hosting a wild plant identification walk on Sunday, August 13th from 12 to 2. And that will be at Silver Creek Springs Farm, which is in Clayton. So the herb shop is in Turtle Lake, but the farm is in Clayton. So again, silvercreeksprings.com. So mark your calendars for those. Music on the River will be on the 21st. And I will be out there for WPCA. And of course, I always am willing to talk about plants, so feel free to come say hi and talk about the station or talk about plants or just hang out. I usually have the shade tent up and an extra chair, and we can visit. I guess there's a... What's that,
Bob? I could add one thing that I was... When you were talking about Silver Springs
Silver
Farm...
Silver Creek, yep.
Silver Creek Farm. Anyway, I think it's the Amory Women's Club on the 13th of this month that are going to tour that.
Oh, great.
So
oh,
I
that's
just
a
did
good
it on
overlap.
The community calendar, so it'll
well,
overlap.
Thank you for announcing that, because that's something our listeners, especially to this show,
sure,
would be interested. And you know, the Amory Women's Club, shout out to them, because they're
everywhere.
The art fair was really great, and yeah, so many things that they do, they're doing as fundraisers.
Yep.
And they just really, first of all, their meetings, amazing. Like, if anybody out there isn't part of an organization, we won't mention any names. Go to a women's club meeting, because they know how to have a really good time and get stuff done. And they're very organized and yet fun and just know how to accomplish things and stay on task and get things organized.
All right.
So, Amory Women's Club, thank you for that announcement. I might need to join that anyway. So, and speaking of Amory, there's a rumor out there, I guess, when I was doing musical chairs for the Ice Cream Social, I heard a rumor that I'm going to be in the Polk County Horticulture Building for the Polk County Fair, which I think that's a great idea. So I'm going to reach out to Betty Thomasick and see if we can make that rumor true. Polk County Fair, Thursday, July 27th through the 30th. If people have not been out, their horticulture building is so lovely. And every year I think I'm going to get my entries in. And I even saw Betty and she was like, go to the library and get your book. Well, I finally did. Well, that was after the fact of being able to put the entries in. But maybe I'll be working the booth. I already mentioned the planted Ewok. So upcoming guests. Speaking of organized, and hopefully, you know, all these, the everything, the timing continues to work out. August, I will have Evren Ryu from Cosmic Healing and Energy Wellness as a guest. September, this will be excited. Bonnie Schwichtenberg, who is a plant judge. So she has been a judge at national flower shows, at the state fair, multiple different levels. And I think, so this year, I don't know if she's at the Minnesota State Fair, but our timing's going to overlap. Like that first Friday of September, the Minnesota State Fair will be going on. So it'll be really fun to talk with her and find out how that judging works. How do they judge? How do you get to be a judge? And then in October, keep fingers crossed, because this has been like over a year in the making of trying to make this happen. But Scott from 45th Parallel Distillery in Richmond should be here, and he can talk about all the plants. I mean, they actually have farmers that grow specific plants for them for distilling. So, but before, so hopefully everyone has that. If not, send me an email or call, and we can cover anything. So, good morning, Teresa. So Teresa Wolf is back. She was here as an eco-herbalist talking back in March of 2020. And now you have moved on. So I have the mindful eating maven here, Teresa Wolf. Good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
I could tell you wanted to talk, but you were excited about the Franconia event. I could see your face.
I live really close to Franconia. It's like, how did I miss this?
Well, and that's the thing. There's so much going on. And that's why I like to announce these things, because I wouldn't have known about Franconia except for one of my friends was interested and literally like sent me the link like 3 months, and then kept going, so are we doing this? Are we doing, you know, and kept sending me the link and sending me the link and said, you know. So I was grateful because I went, we really did have a nice time. But it is hard to keep track of everything that's going on because we have such a great community.
We do. And I love the idea. Well, I loved all the things you said they were doing, but particularly about setting your intention and putting it in a fire. That to me is cool.
Yes. And so my family does, you know, celebrates that way. And a lot of times we do that at home. And of course, this year we couldn't have a fire. I mean, I do have like a little cauldron we can, mm-hmm. but it's not the same. So, you know, that was in a controlled environment. They had a little fire going at, you know, a nice and close thing. And to do it as a group, as a, you know, there was so many different people there and a lot of diversity. And it was just fun. And everybody was there to enjoy and learn more.
It's like having an individual intention in with a community intention, and I think that's pretty powerful, actually.
I agree. Yeah, so it was cool. Oh, I'm getting the look at my goosebumps.
She's got goosebumps through her tattoos, guys. That's something to see.
So the mindful eating maven. So you, not that it's a complete shift, but you're evolving. And so how did you move into this and tell us what that means and just share, please.
I will. It's been 35 plus years in the making. So I grew up thinking my big goal in life was to be a college professor and make $12,000 a year.
I'm getting close to that, but not quite.
That was my big goal in life. And so I went in that vein into science and became a scientist and a microbiologist and moved to Minneapolis and got my first job as a quality control person in a food company for PV Company. They do grains for breads. Brownberry Ovens is under PV Company.
Well, and back in those days. I mean, my gosh, Minneapolis and St. Paul were kind of a mecca for
the
mills.
How many of your listeners were alive 35 years ago? I don't even know. But
I imagine all of them.
Anyway, so I started working as a food scientist or quality control there, and they sent me to graduate school for food science.
Woo! And helped pay for that?
They didn't really help pay for it, but they gave me the time to go.
Nice, okay.
So thank you. So I became a food scientist, but my health wasn't so good. And so then I became interested in natural foods and started learning about organics and eating organics. As a food scientist, of course, you're actually wanting to take the food apart.
Right.
And pull out the stuff and make something different out of it. Usually a fast food type thing.
Right.
And that didn't work for me. So then I started studying about organic foods. And then I became interested in wild foods. And then I became interested in wild plants as medicine. So it was just this migration. But all food. It's always food. I'm always about food. I'm a foodie. So then... along with that, I've always been passionate about the planet and the environment and what we can do to improve the environment. I also was an environmental educator and worked at a nature center in the Twin Cities for many years. And then was a park ranger at the National Scenic Riverway for 10 years. And so there's this kind of thread of the food science blend, the plants as foods and medicines, and then also the environment.
And conservation.
Yeah. And while I worked for the Park Service, part of my job, I got paid folks to drive, to paddle the river in a kayak and talk to people about the river. I got paid to do that.
Is that job still available?
That's a good job. And then I also became a biotech, where we did the animal surveys and the plant surveys, but we also did invasive plant eradication. And I had mixed feelings organically about trying to kill plants. And I believe as a person that what you look at grows. And so I didn't want to look at what I didn't want. I wanted to look at
what you do
what
want.
I do want.
Yes.
You get it.
Yes.
That's huge.
You can, what you see is what you get, but sometimes what you get is what you see.
Is what you're looking for.
Yeah.
And so as a person who was eradicating species, invasive species, first of all, as an herbalist, I knew that they were medicinal.
Right.
That there was value in them. And some of them are really pretty. But they were also crowding out the native species, which were medicinal, had great value, and are very pretty. So I was wrestling with that. So my goal in life was to try and find some way to weave all of that, how to take the science and what I knew about nutrition and absorption of nutrients and all of that, and take what I knew about the nutrient value of plants. The nutrient spectrum of plants is phenomenal, especially the ones that are out in nature, as opposed to the ones that the food scientists had their hands on.
That, yes, things that have not been modified. Things that still have all the constituents that make them beneficial to us.
And
intact.
And whatever we could do to improve the environment. And so what I finally came to, I've gone through a lot of different shifts over the years, but what I finally landed on this last fall was to promote mindful eating. And by mindful eating, just a brief description of that is to just be aware of what you're eating. Notice what you're eating. Smell it. See it. Taste it. Just don't be slamming it in your mouth while you're watching TV. Or if you are slamming it in your mouth while you're watching TV, notice that. So it's just bringing more awareness around your eating. And what happens when you do that is you tend to choose better foods because you're paying attention now. You tend to eat less because by being aware of it, you're noticing the fullness cues. You tend to start motivating or moving towards eating healthier foods because you start to notice which foods raise your energy, which foods lower your energy. And so as you do this, you are nourishing yourself better because you're telling your psyche, I care. I care about what's going in. I care about what I'm doing. And you will have more energy. You will have more clarity. You will have a better sense of well-being because you're telling your body all the time that you care and that what you're putting in your body matters. And if what you put in your body isn't good for you, you're going to notice it and go, oh, okay, so today I did this. Oh, well.
Right.
You know, you just notice. That's all mindfulness is. It's just that noticing. And then the where that matters to plants and the environment, the other two threads in my life, is plants, as I just mentioned, have a much wider nutrient spectrum. And a lot of times people eat too much or are just mindlessly eating because somewhere, somehow, they need a nutrient they're not getting. And so they just keep eating aimlessly until they get that nutrient. And so if you put more plants into your diet, I'm not telling you what to eat or what not to eat. I'm telling you that if you make these kinds of choices, you may find you'll eat less. And you may find that you feel more clarity and more energy and all these kinds of things. So that's where the plant piece comes in. The environmental piece comes in. I'm going to ask you, can you guess how mindful eating would help the environment?
Well, being aware of where your food comes from and how it's sourced and how it's grown. And if you're making better food choices, you're going to be more likely to be supporting people who are also choosing to grow the food in a more sustainable way.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty close, huh?
It's part. Because if you are eating more mindfully and listening to your food cues and things like that, you eat less, so there's less food waste. And food waste is a huge problem in the world right now. So there's less food waste. There's less packaging.
Yes, I struggle with the packaging. It drives me nuts. You'll have this beautiful organic lettuce wrapped in plastic. I bought a bread one time that was in a plastic thing and then in plastic again. So it mind boggles me that these companies that are supposed to be doing everything organic, well, that's not sustainable when you have this non-recyclable packaged plastic packaging layer upon layer.
But they wouldn't have a business if they didn't.
And I buy my loose vegetables. I don't use those little plastic bags. I don't care. It can sit in the cart. I don't even bring my own mesh bag. I don't care. Like, just loose carrots, loose broccoli, loose whatever. Why would I need it to be in a little bag to get it from the store to my house?
Here's where my food science comes in. That you have to have a mass market, you have to package it so it will keep its value, its nutrient value. As soon as a lot of these vitamins and minerals are exposed to air, they break down. Well, not minerals, they won't, but the vitamins, they can start to degrade.
Oh, interesting.
And the stuff will dry out. And then it becomes unappealing, and then nobody eats it, and it becomes food waste.
Right.
So it's a balancing act between how much packaging do I put on to make sure it gets to the consumer and they eat it before it gets moldy or rotted or whatever.
So this comes back, though, to supporting our local farmers markets, supporting the local bakers.
Absolutely.
And we are blessed to be in a community where we have so many choices in that area. Yeah,
absolutely. So there's, as a food scientist and as someone who really hates to waste food, that's kind of, I consider my expertise. Give me your refrigerator with all your foods, and I'll tell you something healthy you can make from it. Or I'll tell you how to keep it so it won't go bad.
Right.
But anyway, that's an aside. I'm going to start putting things on my social media about ways to, say, for instance, take a chicken and how many different things you can do with that chicken.
Sure.
Before you can do no more.
And on social media, or what is the best way for people to find you if they want to learn more? As your information's coming out?
Social media, I guess you just have to look for Teresa Wolf under Facebook. TeresaWolf as in Frank, E.
Okay, so Teresa Wolf.
Yeah.
And they can Google you or Facebook you.
I have a page called the Eco Herbalist Path.
Okay, the Eco Herbalist Path.
Right, and I put all my mindful eating stuff on there now, too.
Because you do have some since we've seen each other last, you've written a book.
Yep.
And you have other publications you've been putting out. Do you want to
Yes, talk because about they're free. And so if they, if this appeals
free
to any
people.
Of you, I have two ebooks that I have written. Because when it comes to mindful eating and you start paying attention to what you're eating and how you're eating it and those kinds of things, you will start to notice the little voice in your head that tells you, you don't need this, you shouldn't have this, you, you're hurting yourself or the planet by eating this. You'll get this voice that's going on in your head. And that actually, folks, that actually stops absorption of nutrients. So what matters to me is that when you eat with joy. You eat with gratitude, even if it's junk. Honor your food. Because if you're going to eat, if you're going to sit and grab something fast that's at a fast food place or... I don't necessarily like to slam fast food places because everybody means to feed the population, and that's a way to feed the population. It may not be ideal, but it is a way to feed people. So, but if you have issues about fast food, many people do, and if you go to fast food because you have to, you have negated any nutrient value, not any, but you've reduced it. You've diminished the nutrient value that you will get from that food by the negative self-talk going, this is such junk, I shouldn't have this junk.
Well, you know, if people go back to the archives, so you were with us in March of 2020, and that should be in the archives of Plant Rant. You can find that at wpcaradio.org. And one thing, and this has stuck with me from that interview, was you, and this was prior to you, this must have been kind of when you were starting getting...
This didn't happen until last August.
But it was the wheels because the seeds were planted. Because one thing you had commented on during that interview was you are better off to go with your group of friends and eat at McDonald's and feel good than to sit home alone and eat your salad by yourself. Like, and... You know, if people listen to the interview, there's more context. But so being joyful in what you're doing. So even if you are eating that, you're choosing, like, I'm going to have the positive experience of being with my friends, and I'm choosing to eat this food. And so while I'm doing it, I'm going to enjoy
I'm so glad that stuck with you. I'm serious. That is such a huge message. Because, you know, your body wants to be healthy. And interestingly enough, I don't think a lot of people have this awareness, but interestingly enough, your body will be healthy. And a lot of reasons it's not is because you're in the way.
Right. And the messages that we send, right? I shouldn't, you're shitting on yourself, right? Yeah. I shouldn't do this and I should do this.
And I can go deeper on that because it's also another environmental piece that I didn't get to. But so by choosing to love your food no matter what, you are telling your body, take what you need, release the rest.
But what a message for all of life.
Yeah. Take what you need, release the rest. Instead of saying, oh, I shouldn't be eating this stuff. And you can just imagine yourself saying that and feel the tenseness.
Well, yeah, I can see your body when you're doing it, the change in
you just,
your physical.
Your forehead crunches and your body tenses up and your digestive tract goes, can't do much with this. So can you just feel that difference in energy?
Yes.
Between, I'm going to eat this. This is not what I prefer, but this is what is in my
right.
World
I'm on the
right
road
now.
Right now, and this is the option, and it beats not eating
Let's
or
just
whatever.
Eat it.
Or this is where my friends are going to go.
Right.
So I'm going to go so I can have a good time.
Right.
And not be judgy about the menu.
It's
and
that
maybe
judgy.
Next time you get to pick, and you can bring them someplace that's farm to table. Or something,
and that's
right?
The judgy. So that's that first freebie that I've got. The first freebie that I have is a booklet called Genuinely Fed. And it's called Reprogram Your Health Sabotaging Habits with These 5 Simple Steps. And it's basically about that negative self-talk, how to recognize it, notice it, and how to reframe it so that when that happens. So when you're stopping with your friends and you're at a place where you don't want to eat what everybody else wants to eat, but you want to be with the group, you reframe it. You can go into that restaurant or whatever and say, I'm sure I can find something that feels good to me.
Right.
I'm sure that I can eat this and my body knows what it should have.
Right.
You know, just that mental talk is going to make a huge difference. And the environmental piece that I wanted to tell you about that I hadn't gotten to was, and this is also huge. I mean, the packaging reduction is huge. But this is also very huge. As you feel better and you have more well-being and you are more clarity and more energy and all of that, that means less pharmaceuticals.
Yes.
And pharmaceuticals in the watershed is huge.
Yes.
Huge. So those are just real no-brainer, obvious things that you, all of us, could do to help the planet by simply being more mindful about eating. Isn't that amazing?
I love it.
I know.
I love it.
I know. I'm so happy.
And you get to come and spread your message to others and get other people thinking.
Yes.
And I can't believe how fast time's going. So tell us about your other publication and then your book, too. I want to announce for all of this.
So just a real quick for the Genuinely Fed book, it's just go.teresawolf.com/ebook.
Okay.
And they'll get that book.
Nice.
So go.teresawolf.com/ebook. The other one is one I'm working on right now. I mean, it's made, but it's the prelude to a course that I'm building. It's coming out today, actually. Mindful Eating for Leaders, Using Food to Elevate Your Performance. And what the goal of this free ebook is for people that have a message. They have something they want to do for the world. Bob, doing this radio show is huge. What you do is huge. And it is ways how adopting mindful eating will benefit you to do your mission. Because that's my goal. My goal is not about me. It's about how can I help other people to do the good they want to do. And just imagine, and the reason I chose leaders, if you will, leaders being anybody who wants to influence anybody else, which could be a parent.
Exactly. That was where my brain went, yes.
Could be a child. But there's a ripple effect. If you're able to do your mission better, there's this wonderful ripple effect for the world.
Right.
And so my goal with this mindful eating is to just help the world be a better place that way.
I love it. And thank you for that. Mm-hmm. It benefits all of us. What benefits one benefits the rest. So yes. I love that. You know, and it's funny, when you talk about parenting and with the kids and eating and things, and it's like, maybe that's part of kids being able to eat so much. I mean, aside from their metabolism, everything, they don't sit and feel guilty if they eat a whole bag of potato chips. They're thinking they are living the dream. I got a pop. I got some chips. Life is good. My son's at the end. He's not been a picky eater. And if you put a piece of pizza and a vegetable in front of him, he'll eat the vegetable first. But he's also getting into that real junky food stage. But part of it's probably just he has no negative feelings about it.
It's huge. The body knows what it needs.
And your book is about kids, right? The other, not
oh,
the
other book,
but
the
your
other book.
Published book.
Happy, Healthy, and Alive. What makes us happy, healthy, and makes me happy, healthy, and alive? And it's a child's first reader. So it's not about what I have to say. It's about the pictures. Because each book, the question is, what makes me happy, healthy, and alive? And the word is just, I need, and then the picture is air. I need food. I need water. I need a... But what I feel is important about this book is that it gets into, I need community. I need a safe space. I need to love and feel loved. I need, you know, there's these more deeper issues.
That is beautiful. So. And beautiful illustrations.
Yeah.
Well, Teresa, again, I think we could probably just have a whole nother show. So you let me know when you want to come back.
November?
And we can, I can pronounce. Okay, add to the community calendar. Teresa Wolf, November, we're going to, are you serious?
Sure.
Okay, I'm serious.
Sure. I have
that
a message
works.
Here that I'm trying to get out. And
let's do it. Especially going into winter when it's harder to find fresh food.
And I can talk about holiday eating.
All right, perfect. So November. Baker Orchard, thank you so much again for your continued support of the Plant Rant. And don't forget to also mark your calendars for their
Art Festival, which is always the fourth weekend in September. Well, that went fast, and everyone enjoy this great weather. Get outside and enjoy. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's 9:30.
During this season of